No, but I own all the utilities, so it's actually times 10.
Board Games on 95BFM. Our weekly chat with Waitemata local board head Pippa Coombe.
Once again, not Pippa Coombe, but we did speak today to Karen Leone and Glenda Fire from City Vision about their upcoming Waitemata local board campaigns. I actually jumped in on Oscar's segment today.
Indeed, we did. It was a good, very full little studio recording.
Quite cosy.
Be privileged of them coming in to talk to us about their upcoming election campaigns, who they are, what they think, what does Waitemata need in their eyes, and what are the problems that it currently faces.
I'm Glenda Fryer, standing for the Waitemata local board.
Kia ora koutou, I'm Karen Leone, Ngāti Pāua, and Ngāi Takoto and Ngāti Kuri, and also standing for the Waitemata local board and the Auckland District Health Board.
Exciting. So, how have you found yourselves in the realm of local boards and local politics?
Well, when I was 21 years old and a student at Auckland University, I wanted to save the world, and I stood for the Auckland City Council then. So I have stood for a few times for the various local bodies and boards over the years. But really, it wasn't until my children were much younger and they wanted things in the playgrounds, like a flying fox, and the council wouldn't put it in. So, you know, we got the flying fox in when I stood and got onto their local community board. So I've been trying to change the world for a long time through local politics. It does take a long time though.
Yeah, I've also been trying to change the world, I'd say. I've got many years of experience as a social worker, frontline social work, and just seeing those issues in terms of the changes that could happen if you do make those changes at a local board level. So when the opportunity came up, I thought, give it a go, put my name forward, and you know, also because I have a connection to the land through being Ngāti Pāua, and I'm really passionate about strengthening the relationships with Māori and iwi.
Do you see any kind of connection between the role as someone on the local board and as a social worker? Like, what do you see as perhaps like the overlap between those two realms?
So I think the main overlap is that the issues that are faced at the cold front, or the difficulties that we are experiencing out there, sometimes the connection in terms of that coming back to local government can be lost. But I think the more people that we have that are at the grassroots community level that can come up into the local boards and be able to communicate those ideas, the better the planning will be in the future.
Would I be correct in saying that you're currently on the Albert Eden board?
Yes, so I was an Auckland City Councillor for 9 years under two of the Banks terms, and was the chair of the Planning and Regulatory Committee in the Hubbard term. I have been on the Albert Eden local board, but I've lived in the central city opposite Victoria Park now for 7 years. And so I've been sort of transitioning from one community to the other, and I thought it was best if I stand in the local board that I now represent, because there's a whole heap of issues that are new to me that I'm wanting to help improve.
What would you say those issues are?
Well, transport is the key one, and I guess that's the key issue in a lot of places. But certainly in terms of congestion, I know for students coming to the universities and technical institutes around here, that's a big issue too. And the timing of the buses, the reliability of the buses, the cost of the buses, and if they're coming on scooters, where they go, what speeds they can do. But, you know, it's the congestion, and it's the light rail, that the huge changes that the CRL will make to the whole transport system in Auckland. And I'm just really keen on that time between the CRL coming in, which is about 4 years away. There's a lot of communities too, inner city communities, in disruption. So the Mount Eden station, which is in the uptown area, the Simon Street area there, will have a huge impact on those that live there, those that shop there, the businesses there. So, you know, I want to play my part in trying to ameliorate those sort of impacts.
And what issues are you most what do you care about the most? What would you like to see?
Yeah, so I think the housing issues in the CBD is moving forward with that and the options that we have with the apartments now. So we're also getting a lot more families that are coming into the CBD and having the services and provisions for them to actually have families and have access to parks and everything else. I'm a mother of 2-year-old twins, so it's really important that we've got all of those things available to us. Strengthening the relationships with mana whenua, we know that they already exist, but it's about how can we strengthen those even further, and focusing on the relationships also with our other ethnic groups that are coming into the CBD.
And how do you see, what would you like to do to strengthen those relationships?
So I think an example of that is there are a number of things that are already happening.
So often in placemaking areas, there are names of various various mana whenua put forward, but sometimes that has its own difficulties, and I think someone like Karen on our local board will make some of that go a bit more easily.
And another idea too is to look at doing co-design workshops with mana whenua and ethnic groups to actually get their ideas on what they think they could do to improve the relationship and how that could work better.
We've seen in the faux local board there was a Pacific People's Plan and an Ethnic People's Plan released. Would that be something that you're going to be interested in working on within the Waitemata area as well?
Yes, it is. There's a lot of plans out there, and of course it's also implementing them that's the key. I haven't, I'll look those ones up. I haven't been aware of them myself. Every local board has so much going on, and it's really exciting, and certainly the Waitemata local board has a lot going on that's exciting too. So it's learning from each other often in these situations.
Certainly. You were talking about transport before.
Yep.
It seems to be kind of forefront on a lot of candidates' minds at the moment, which is not surprising. What fixes do you, if you could do three things to the transport systems or how people move through the city at the moment, what would those three things be?
For public transport to be free? It is in some countries, yes, there are a whole lot of backfillings there that would have to happen, but certainly working towards that, buying more buses, etc. Certainly hoping also that they need to be electric buses, okay, because of the climate change emergency that's been declared, and we absolutely have to act on that, and that's certainly one way. The app for AT is a bit hopeless. And changing that app to make people feel that if they're standing at a bus stop, they're actually going to be able to catch that bus and it didn't go 3 minutes ago or it's still half an hour behind time. So reliability of the system and the app.
What do you think has created the reliability issues, especially in the Waitemata area?
I'm not sure. I mean, that's one of the issues. AT is a CCO. The local board does not have any say over what happens. It can just advocate. And it advocates and it gets into the system. But coming out of the system is a difficulty. The locals actually, within the last year, some locals have advocated to Auckland Transport with the Waitemata local board that a bus is rerouted so it goes down Williamson Avenue. Yeah. So I turned up there 6:45 on Saturday morning or Sunday Saturday morning when it was supposed to go down the new route of Williamson Avenue. We were left stranded. It didn't. There are communication problems. It's a big organisation. It has lots of money. And I've just remembered the third thing in terms of transport that I could fix, cycle lanes. Cycle lanes are certainly starting on arterials, but I think that's the big bang to get more people out of cars. And that's the key. It's getting people out of cars. And that's why those that need to come here, the commercial vehicles, the trucks and people that have got no other options, can actually use those roads uncongested because other people are on public transport and using different modes.
You're talking about cycle lanes and something that's been brought up a few times by different people. It's one of those kind of, it's not new, but kind of big urban design things at the moment for transport, along with kind of shared spaces. However, they are incredibly effective when they work. However, there have been a few times where they've been implemented and they haven't really fulfilled their intention. Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that cycleways are safe and don't create trauma for cyclists mm-hmm. and that they don't disrupt traffic patterns or business patterns? And how do we make sure that shared spaces are shared spaces and are safe and don't create trauma for pedestrians?
Well, one of the reasons, in Mount Albert, for example, I voted to put cycle lanes in Mount Albert Road in 2007. So there is a big stretch of Mount Albert Road with cycle lanes. But, you know, people have to go on the main roads until they get into those cycle lanes. So there's no big fix for that because you can't instantly overnight create cycle lanes everywhere. And it's really only when the cycle lanes are there and they are differentiated, so that they're not mixed with the cars and trucks and buses, etc., that people can be safe. So it doesn't happen overnight, but I believe Auckland Transport has been dragging the chain. I believe there's funding for more cycleways and they haven't been fast enough. Yes, there are issues. They have to go out to consultation. They have to listen to the consultation. They have to make changes. So that's what takes the time. But, you know, we also have to consult with locals because their views matter too.
A lot of the changes you're suggesting, such as electric buses and free transport, they're quite large changes. Do you actually think it's feasible to achieve this, and what kind of time period are you looking at to make this happen?
Well, I know the mayor came out, I think, on the weekend with his aims, and you can only aim over a certain time because you may not be the mayor in 6, 8, or 10 years. But I certainly think electric buses And by the way, it was something when I was an Auckland City Councillor under the Hubbard mayoralty, we had a system for transitioning all electric fleet for council cars and for buses. Mm. Then unfortunately, John Banks got back. Right. And he took away all those items that were embedded in the system. So, you know, it depends on who gets in. Mm. And certainly, if the present mayor, Phil Goff, is re-elected, you know, he's made promises and he will stick by them. He'll find the funding and he'll stick by them. So, no, it's not pie in the sky, but it's not as quick as we would all like it.
You mentioned consultation before. And talking to people, making sure people's voices are heard. And we were talking about Mana Whenua before. Do you think there is enough of a body for Mana Whenua to kind of have a heard voice and a properly kind of acted upon voice within the local boards and local politics system as it sits at the moment?
Absolutely. I think that sometimes it's just about having the right people in those roles to make that happen and to bring it all together. So hopefully I could be one of those people going forward.
And she will be the first ever Māori elected member in Waitemata once she's elected in a couple of months.
What do those next couple of months look like for you on the campaign trail, so to speak?
Door knocking is the most important and effective way of persuading people that they should get out of vote. And of course, that's a key thing because if only 35 to 38% of the people vote, that's only some people that are voting. So it's getting out that vote. And so we've been door knocking already for the last 3 months. And we'll absolutely continue to do that. We'll also be doing, shopping centres with our card, it's mainly and public meetings. So we've already been invited by various business associations and residents associations to front up and have our say, which is what we want. But door knocking is the key for us.
Mm. What do you gain from door knocking? Do you get to hear the voices of the community, or is it just about kind of getting your kind of card out there?
Well, no, you get into conversations, and those are the key things, because when we are elected, we'll know some of the residents, we'll know the issues that they feel are important for them, and we will be trying to make sure we put what they've suggested into action. It's all those suggestions, and yes, you can get them through, you know, public consultation, but often the people you're talking to aren't those that have actually filled out the forms or gone online and done it. So that's the key for us. Yes, we are trying to present ourselves as the sort of people they'd like to vote for, but we're also there to listen.
I've also put out a post on my Facebook this morning, an invitation to come and speak to any community groups if they'd like to hear what our views are in terms of going onto the local board. So that's another way that we're trying to get in.
That's not a ladder, that's an upside down snake.
Board games on 95 BFM.